So we're going to bring in also the issue of TAS 102. And Mike, you know, one of the common questions we ask is, how do you sequence these agents? TAS 102 is not known to have some of the quality of life issues, more neutropenia, but do you see benefit in this situation? This is a slide that Axel put together with his point of view, but I'm curious, Mike, do you end up using both of these agents in most patients? And how do you decide which one to go with first?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real, you know, honest clinical question that practitioners are facing in this setting after you kind of go through your classic more chemotherapy and targeted therapy for various different molecular subsets. You're kind of left with really, you know, TAS 102 and regorafenib as your treatment options. And, you know, cross-trial comparisons put them very similar in regards to the efficacy space. You do see differences in regards to safety profiles. And so that's really the difference that does exist. I will say, I think you see in practice a more common utilization of TAS 102 as kind of the initial agent followed by regorafenib. And I would say that's kind of the option I often go to in some sense. You know, I think both are fine to start one or the other in regards to sequencing. I think ideally you'd like to get through both. I think there's some good data that Axel's presented before by, you know, totality of therapy, you know, has improved overall outcomes for patients. And so I think the issue there is just performance status reevaluation after that initial TAS 102 or regorafenib and then assessing, you know, for the alternative one. I do think with the redose approach for regorafenib that actually addresses some of the initial concerns that came out with toxicity. But I do think it is a valid point, you know, that you kind of got at that, you know, blood count are not something that patients necessarily notice. Patients do notice, you know, fatigue and hand foot syndrome. And so there is a difference in the profile. And I think that probably does tend to kind of lead the choice for TAS 102 in regards to kind of being an initial therapy for patients. I've always wondered, you know, how does prior anti-angiogenic response or benefit potentially, should that influence our decision-making at this point? You know, regorafenib clearly is an agent that's kind of in the anti-VEGF space. And so should prior kind of benefit, as best we can like glean that out from radiographic or just treatment responses, lead to a decision-making difference here? But I think fundamentally, we don't really have good data to say which therapy is better in which patient. And so I really think it is kind of up to that safety discussion with the patient in regards to which agent to utilize first.
So Axel, you had this slide that kind of compares indirectly the data with these two agents. Can you comment on that and sort of where that leads you in terms of sequencing?
Yeah, that is interesting slide because it really looks at the all the phase three level of evidence when regorafenib and TAS were compared to placebo in a different patient population, CORRECT and RECOURSE were conducted in more Western patient population plus Japan, and CONCOR and TERRA were in an Asian patient population less heavily pretreated. And that's an interesting phenomenon that we've seen actually consistently, that regorafenib actually seems to have greater benefit for patients who are less heavily pretreated. Whereas TAS 102 seems to be like working in actually quite well in patients who have even in heavily pretreated patients. Interestingly, when you compare the CONCOR versus TERRA results, and we're talking about cross-trial comparison, it's all taken with a grain of salt, and look at the hazard ratios for overall survival. TERRA Asian patients not as heavily pretreated, hazard ratio 0.79. CONCOR Asian patients not as heavily pretreated for regorafenib, hazard ratio 0.55. So there could be something in this cross-trial comparison that makes more the point of regorafenib going before TAS, with the idea that eventually, as Mike said, we want to use all active agents in all patients. Now, I would clearly say that I do believe that a patient with PS2, well, I would use TAS, but I would not use regorafenib. I think the pool of patients that are candidates for treatment are larger for TAS than for regorafenib, because, you know, as Mike said, you know, it's not as subjectively, you know, interfering with patients' quality of life, certain neutropenia. Now, having said that, you know, we just saw a discussion actually from ESMO and NCCN guidelines about COVID, you know, time, you know, is neutropenia the side effect we like to see, or is a non-chemotherapy agent in a later line setting the one that is appropriate right now? And these are ongoing discussions. Eventually, you know, really have to talk to patients and make a shared decision with them. And also recognizing, you know, that these both drugs are not home runs. You know, they might improve outcomes incrementally. The way I actually talk to my patients about these agents, and this is true for regorafenib and for TAS 102, when you look at the analysis of the pivotal trials. So when we do a scan after 2 months of regorafenib, for instance, there's about a 45 to 50% chance patients do not have progression of disease. And if those patients who don't have progression of disease, they have a 50% chance to be alive at 1 year. And that is, I think, something we can explain to patients in terms of, you know, what they can expect. So it's a time-dependent and, you know, a scan-dependent biomarker approach to say, you know, this is what your outcome can be. I normally tell patients, you know, if you want to not miss the opportunity, let's do these 2 months of treatment, let's get a scan, and then we see which group you belong to. Because a year, you know, the chance of having another year is actually clinically meaningful, I think, for patients.